Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. If this is the first time you've tuned in, welcome, welcome. Just to let you know, the DL Link is really a superb organization, founded by Michelle Goodman and Jackie Artzeller all the way back in 2010. And the DL Link provides a nurturing safe space where patients who are faced with cancer, as well as their families, can turn to for support. So it's social, emotional, psychological, every kind of support you get. So we hope that we inspire you during this show. And we really aim, certainly our producer Lee Wolf certainly aims every week to bring inspiration and information your way. So I'm really excited with our first guest who's going to be talking about cognitive behavior therapy. And how you can have access to this incredible therapy through a website that she has just co-created. So Dr. Kalinda Lindy, who's a clinical psychologist and chairperson of the SADAG board, welcome. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me here. And I'm a big believer in knowledge is power. So I love doing these kind of talks.
Oh, well, we are so delighted that you have joined us. You know, we feature SADAG quite a bit on this show, certainly speaking to counselors who offer these amazing support groups, these free support groups. We know that we live in a world where it is needed more and more. And very often there's a cost, you know, when in terms of getting one's mental health, physical health, emotional health on track. And some people simply feel like they can't afford it. They are excluded on that healing journey. So I think that the work that SADAG does is phenomenal. And I just love that we are diving into cognitive behavioral therapy today and talking about this website that you've co-created. So perhaps, Kalinda, you can just give us an outline of what exactly is CBT?
Okay, so CBT is cognitive behavior therapy, and there are a few key differences. So one of them is that it's research-based, and I think, you know, nowadays, who's got a lot of time, energy, or money? So it's just to, you know, it reassures you that, okay, this has been researched since the 1920s. So I'm not saying other therapies don't have their place, but certainly for anxiety, stress, depression, insomnia, CBT really is proven to work best. So it's research-based, and it's a very relaxed relationship. So you're co-creating the solution. So it's collaborative. It's a little bit different than the other therapies. So, you know, we do obviously take a history, and your past brings you to here. But we're much more interested in where you are and where you want to be. And we only look at the bits of the past that we need to. So I guess you could look at it as collaborative and empirical. And then also, if you really wanted to define it, it's a structured short-term therapy. And we work on the link between your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. So that's really what it is in a nutshell. Okay.
So I love this. So let's just break that down a little bit more. If we look at, and as you said, I mean, all therapy is really so beneficial. A lot of people, when they look at therapy, a lot of, and not all the therapy, you've just been explaining the CBT, but there is going a lot into the past, finding the source of the behavior or the pain or whatever. So you're saying, while you may go there, that's not where you dwell. You dwell very much in this moment, in this collaborative space with the person who takes part in this process with the therapist, and it's forging into the future. So it sounds as if, and I like the way you've said it's short term, so it sounds as if it's quite an empowering process. So it's not just a case of someone going and spending that hour, half an hour, just filling the vessel, but actually finding tools to make shifts so that they can move forward.
Very much so. And, you know, often people come to me because of problem behaviors. actually what's driving it is the thoughts and the feelings. So even that information is quite helpful. So say you want to avoid something, you're procrastinating. It's because there are certain thoughts and feelings driving that. So it's not the trigger and it's not the behavior really where we do most of the work. It will be, okay, you've been triggered. Concurrently, there will be something you think and something you feel. And then you'll do a behavior, which is typically an avoidance of a bad feeling. So in the beginning, we didn't work so much with feeling, but the newer way of doing CBT, it's called the Unified Protocol, is where we bring in a lot of emotion management, emotion regulation, sort of mindfulness. So it's really about, on the one hand, how do you tolerate negative feelings and work with them differently? And then the other one is around what are your thoughts, your thought patterns? And then where the past comes in is what are the core beliefs that drive that pattern? So I'll give an example. So yes. Say you say yes when you should say no. You know, you're exhausted, but then somebody wants you to do something for them. So there's the trigger. And then the behavior is you're either in a bad mood or you kind of have a chocolate to try and get you through, or you tell a lie. So what was in the middle? So the feeling was I'm exhausted, but I feel guilty. You know, I don't want to do it, but I have to. So there was guilt, fear of rejection, letting them down. And the thoughts are saying you're a bad friend if you don't do it. Doesn't matter if you're exhausted, etc. So maybe the core belief under that is maybe you are over-responsible, or you're overly loyal, or you're very fearful of people disapproving. So it's unique to each person, but it's done with the client. So they come back with their thought monitor, their feeling monitor, and then we go through it. It's like a tennis match. So we're going back and forth at what it could be to do with this. What do you think? And then we link it to the past, but we always then bring it back to the present. And then after we've identified this is what's going on, we look at how do you modify your thoughts, your feelings, and your behaviors. So it's very active, this kind of therapy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I have to say, as you say, collaborative, they're taking part in that whole healing journey. Just to pause for a moment and just unpick a few things. So you're talking about thoughts and the feelings and then the behaviors. So there's some people, and especially in the area of anxiety or depression, where they will talk about there is just this feeling. They have no idea that there's a thought. That they, you know, they'll say there's just a feeling. I'm not thinking anything. I just wake up with this feeling. Is that something that CBT can help with, or is that something that you need to go for more conventional therapy?
It can definitely help, and I do hear that quite often. So some people are heady people, so they're very aware of their thoughts, but not everyone is. Some people are more feeling or action oriented.
Yeah.
So what I would normally do with that would be that we would go frame by frame in my office. So I would look at, well, what was in your mind last night? And usually it'll be some anticipatory, how am I going to do tomorrow? Or I'm feeling okay now, but I know I wake up in the morning feeling bad. So there's already a precipitating thought. And then the second your eyes open, a thought is the quickest thing. So even if it's a split second that there's a habitual thought, because we don't always remember those. Yes. So, you know, we would go through it here at the session, and then I would send them off, and they would then really look for what was that quick, fleeting thought. And typically they'll come back and say, oh, okay, it was a thought of, oh, another day, or what's going to happen today. But so quick, a split second. So that's one way to address it. And then with anxiety, some people are much more, say, with generalized anxiety, more thought-oriented, worry, 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 anticipatory. And other people, that sort of becomes so ordinary that they forget, and it's just how they are. And it's much more about the feeling. I wake up with that feeling, and then I'm worried, is that feeling going to stay all day? So there is always a thought going along with the feeling, but one is in the foreground and one is in the background. And that's my job, to help the person unpick and identify. And because obviously it's my field, I can hypothesize, well, could it be this, could it be that? And when I hit the right one, it'll usually be, oh, yes, that is what I'm telling myself. So you see why it's kind of a co-creation, like a dance that goes on, but with the client very active.
Absolutely. I mean, incredible. And I mean, you talk about sometimes these thoughts are coming up and it's in a split second. Sometimes people don't even know. I mean, this thought is very often coming up from the subconscious. So, and you've spoken about going through a frame by frame and also a thought and feeling monitor. So then the question would be, Dr. Linda, can you reframe, can you rewire, can you change the way people think, that, and those are the subconscious thoughts, the ones they're not even thinking consciously?
Well, you've got to bring the core beliefs up, you know, into conscious. So say you were the over-responsible one, or what I often see, if you say there's a family where one child is extremely rebellious, then one of the others may become the golden child and feel, I've got to do everything right. And so you'll unpack that, but you'll look at it from here, looking back, that, okay, you've got these core beliefs, and this is why. We don't dwell there. Okay, so how do you feel about these core beliefs? Do you think there might be another way of still being a good child, but without having to be the perfect child? So you would bring the core beliefs, and obviously for me, it's very familiar after many decades, and that's the point, that's my part. And right. So they know themselves and I know, you know, core beliefs. So between us, it'll be, well, these are the core beliefs. And could we look at it like this, maybe like that? And it's not just me telling them that they can change it like this or that. It's where we actually go through, well, what's the cost benefit of staying like this? And what would be a cost benefit of change? And then what would be alternate beliefs? And if you think about it, you know, and when you are in puberty, you're suddenly a teenager. You're never going to be that child again. When you leave school, you're never going to be that school pupil again. So we're changing our identity all the time. It's possible. Even if, say, you should get married and decide to change your name, or you work, you know, you now have a different role. So we actually have a wonderful capacity to shift our roles, our names, our identities. We're doing it all the time in our lives. So, you know, we really believe in that once you've made a choice, there is a possibility that you can definitely shift who you are.
I love that. And that's where the empowerment sits. And I love that this therapy is about really working on it within specific areas. So I know that therapy can be between anything between 4 and 12 sessions. Yes. And I'm also wondering, so that gives you, you know, so people know that in that time they're working on it. They're going to those places that you invite them to go to. But I'm wondering, you know, with the feelings, and you talk about now feeling into the feelings is so much more important. And we know how we try and avoid these uncomfortable feelings, especially when it comes to something like anxiety or depression, these feelings that flood the system. And how would you, for people who are listening now, that when these feelings come up, they'll do anything to avoid them. It's hard to face the feeling. Do you have any tips and ideas that can just help people feel safe in allowing those feelings to be there so that they can then explore further?
It would really depend on the person. So some people who are very head, you know, very cognitive, there's a wonderful set of techniques about where you look at what's the message in the emotion. And then what is your call to action? So say, for example, anger, the message is my right or boundary has been violated. And then you could either be assertive or choose to walk away or channel the anger. So people who quite head, I would do those techniques. And then when it comes to the actual feeling, there are families of techniques. So there are behavioral techniques, and there'll be different kinds of relaxation, quick ones, and they're all research-based. Even something simple like, you know, say you're driving and you're anxious. If you squeeze the wheel, breathe in through your nose for maybe 6 seconds and then hold for 1 or 2 and then release the pressure on the wheel and breathe out for much longer through the mouth, maybe 8 seconds. So, you know, there are some examples like that. So I would always tailor it to the person. And then one that works every time is there's a meditation technique called the clouds are not the sky. And there are different versions of them floating around, but the premise basically is impermanence. So for the head people, they can think about what's the message in my emotion. And for the people who may be more feeling oriented, what they often prefer is just, you know, ride out that feeling. So we teach them methods and how can you ride out that feeling? Because we know it's impermanent, like the weather, you know, it has to change. So sometimes a little statement like every storm runs out of rain, just to remind yourself that I feel horrendous now, but it cannot stay like that. It's physiologically impossible. So we have little tips and tricks like that.
So, yeah, it sounds like it's, the CBT is filled with these protocols, these techniques, and I'm sure that there's so many people who are listening right now. As I said to you, not everyone can afford to go to a therapist. Not everyone can go and afford these 4 to 12 sessions. And so you have co-created a website. Please tell us more about that. I'm really, really excited about it. Fabulous.
Yeah. So I'm a big believer in access and advocacy. So I actually created, it's called Thoughts First, because your thoughts come before everything, thoughtsfirst.com. And there's a lot of free CBT stuff on there. And I'm hoping to put more and more on. I want to put courses on and, you know, a lot of information. I've also recently started a YouTube channel where there are videos and shorts, and I'm on social media. It's all under my name, Dr. Kalinda Linda. So Thoughts First has got something on anxiety. It's got something on panic, on social phobia, and something on sleep myths, stress. You know, on my main website, Dr. Kalinda Linda, it's also got a little video about stress. And there's also work-life balance. I did a book on that, so that's available. So there are many of these things out there. And, you know, there are only 3,000 clinical psychologists left in South Africa, which is quite sad.
3,000?
3,000. I actually looked it up on the HPCSA. 3,001 or something like that. Yeah. Registered
oh,
ones.
My goodness.
Oh, so that's
goodness.
Quite scary. So yeah. I just decided, this can't work. So I'm in the process of finishing a book on generalized anxiety with just a few, you know, all my secrets. So I'll be, that probably will be done by the end of this month. So people can just check in on Thoughts First if they like. But that's about to come. And on SADAG, if you look on SADAG.org on their front page, I've got a whole series of videos on panic. And there are a few others who are on the board who've also done on depression and various things. So, you know, that's our part. We're just trying to get it out there. Mm. And I think we need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there is good CBT available online, but there's also not good CBT. So at least I eat, breathe, sleep it. You know, it's my favorite thing.
Right.
And I think with SADAG, we are all very much CBT. So if you want that, you've got Thoughts First or you've got SADAG.org. So I encourage everyone to actually go on there and take what you need. And I will make a lot of the new information available as well. Sometimes it'll be just a nominal fee because it just helps, you know, to cover things. But if somebody can't afford it, they always get in touch with me. And then, you know, it'll be a fraction of a therapy session. I mean, a therapy session, the medical aid rate's about 1-1. And nothing on my site costs that much remotely. And, you know, so I think if people can just access, that would be great.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm also interested to know if more and more people are contacting SADAG, making use of the helpline, the support groups. Are you noticing that there are more people who are starting to do that? Yeah.
You know, because I'm on the board, we obviously are, you know, we can access the statistics, and this is frightening. I was horrified. I didn't realize. So during COVID, we did some surveys on several thousand people. And before COVID, now this is a frightening number, we were getting 400 calls per day, per day, 400 calls. And after lockdown, they were 800 per day. And we are now on over 2,000 a day. And we've doubled our phone lines. We've got WhatsApp lines, we've got SMS, we've got email. So we're having contact with over 2,000 people per day. So
that's
these numbers have not come down.
Wow. Yeah. I understand pre-COVID the 400, then after lockdown 800, but you would think that it would have come down. It just shows you. Yeah. It just shows you.
It hasn't. It hasn't actually in all these years. And we do these surveys twice a year, but obviously the numbers are the numbers. But it hasn't come down, which in itself tells you something. So that's why I'm so passionate about getting this information out there. And
for sure.
You know, shows like yours, or as you know, with SADAG, we've got Facebook Fridays and live and all sorts of things. Because, you know, knowledge is power. And we give away as many techniques and information as possible. So I think also the DL Link does amazing work. You know, cancer is one of my other areas of interest, and I've heard about it for all these years, and it's made such a difference in people's lives. So we're each doing our part.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wonder, I mean, what do you attribute this is an incredible increase, 800 to 2,000. What do you attribute it to? I mean, you're talking about more people, and as you say, these websites and people have access. So what is lacking? What is the issue? What is happening, do you think?
I think it's twofold. I think the one is that there's just no access, and people have financial restraints that they didn't have before. Yeah. So I think they're trying to find other means. Obviously, there's more knowledge around mental health since COVID, that's true. But what we're finding is the kind of things that are stressing people are often socioeconomic. You know, it's very much, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's right at the bottom. You know, people who retrenched, who can't find employment, you know, everything has gone up. We all know that when we go to the shops and you have a little basket and you think, well, there are no luxuries. How can it cost this? So I think it's a lot of that, and this is a global thing, that economically everything, the cost of living has gone up. So I think there's a lot of that. And then, of course, you know, we're always scrolling, which we shouldn't be. They're little unhappiness machines. So I think there's a lot more of that. And the world is unstable, the whole place, you know. So I think that there's a lot more of that. So there's a lot of existential as well as then the cost of living, you know, actual problems down there. And of course, that kicks up anxiety and depression. And then you have knock-on effects, because then, you know, your family, if everybody's stressed or anxious or depressed, you're going to have conflict, et cetera, et cetera. So this is unfortunately where we're at. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying through SADAG or any kind of information, like what you're doing, systems, community support, we're trying just to keep going, you know, and because impermanence, the world cannot stay like this. It has to shift at some point. So we just have to keep ourselves together until that happens.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, as we say, and then thank goodness you have SADAG. So I'm just also wondering, with this increase and with you know, with these numbers, you talk about the cost of living and there's more strolling in this unstable world. And what speaks to me is an inner awareness, because I think that when you are feeling anxious or you're feeling depressed or whatever it is, you can get so used to feeling that way. You kind of think that that's normal. It doesn't feel good, but it feels normal. And I'm sure that's how it gets a whole lot worse. So there has to be a point when you stop and you say, is this working for me? Can I make a change? And so just before we do say goodbye, just the awareness, self-awareness.
Very much so. You know, you can't fix it if you don't know it's broken.
Right.
And so step one is knowledge is power, you know, have an awareness. And I certainly think that COVID did that for us, where, you know, mental health awareness was big. I think the unfortunate thing is that lasted maybe 2 years. I could see it everywhere, that after 2 years, there was a sudden push. You know, people need to be resilient. But at the same time, you know, Robert Reich talks about this, where he talks about profit over people. And it's just really sad that this is a systemic problem, that, you know, there's one person doing 3 jobs, but you just have to keep your job because you need to pay for your kids, for schooling, etc. So I think there are systemic problems. And so obviously, if the whole system changed, yes, things would change, but that's a little bit idealistic right now. So I think we need to start with ourselves, as you said, where am I at? And I am a human. I have a mind that can think out of the box. I might need to think with somebody else. You know, Einstein said that. He said the mind that creates the problem is not necessarily going to be the one that can solve it. So that's where you can speak to a colleague, a friend, a mentor, an older person, you know, who's got more wisdom, a therapist, you know, that kind of thing. So get new input in, get a new perspective in, exactly as you were saying. And then you can actually grow from that adversity. So, you know, remember Einstein, that if one of the greatest minds that ever lived would sometimes need to go and speak to somebody else because he got stuck, well, I think then we can do it as well. So it really is about that awareness and then perspective. And then with that new perspective, how can we work things differently? And often another solution will present itself. You know, humans are incredibly resilient. So I always have hope for that.
Me too. And I do think it's fascinating. And it really does start with taking that first step, even though it feels like perhaps the journey ahead could be quite overwhelming. Just that first step, the realization that you don't have to feel this way. It doesn't have to be this way. And, you know, just listening to you, I hear possibility. And I think that's what people need to perhaps just imagine, that possibility, and then wow, so much can change. Before we say goodbye, just very, very quickly, how can people get hold of what is the website? What is the web address?
Okay, so that would be thoughtsfirst.com, and then on my social media accounts, they can just look me up with my name.
So it's Dr. Kalinda Linda, and Linda is Linde.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's not thoughts first, plural.
That's right. Perfect. Yeah. Type in anything around Kalinda Linda, and I think the algorithms will take you there.
Fantastic. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking the time to put this website together. I'm sure there are so many people who are going to gain so much out of it. Pretty extraordinary, and just, really, really appreciate it. And thanks for joining us today.
Such a pleasure. We each do our part.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Linda. Take care and goodbye. Dr. Kalinda Linda, clinical psychologist and chairperson of the SADAG board. So that's CBT. Amazing, amazing. Visit the website. That is thoughtsfirst.com, or just look up Kalinda Linda and follow her on social media. Go onto YouTube and watch those videos. We are going to take a break, and after the break, a beautiful story. Anthea Wright, mother of Kyle, will be joining us and sharing Kyle's story, his journey with us. So stay with us. Don't go.
So keep smiling. Keep going. Put your foot in front of the other and keep just going with everything. Go with the flow.
Yeah, what an attitude you have, honestly, Anthea. I know that with Carl at the Netcare Parklands Hospital at the radiotherapy department, they had a farewell for Carl. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit more about that.
That was absolutely amazing, Reshma. She says he touched her heart. One of his little letters with his roses from Granny's garden. And she just from there took it further, and it was truly, truly amazing. I mean, Carl has, from previously Netcare 911, I'd phoned in Maritzburg, had given him the flight suit, the paramedic suit to wear. It was one that they'd managed to give to him that they don't normally do. And we took that there because they let me know it was happening. We took that there, he had it on. But the staff, like I say, at the radiation department, they put on a full fare. Normally ringing the bell is a very big thing for everybody who's finished the radiation. But they took it not one or two steps. They took it 100 steps further and just spoiled him rotten. We were truly, truly blessed with that. And you couldn't take this. You can't scrape the the smile of Carl's face at the moment. He's still so excited about it. He went in the ambulance. They put the siren on for him. They had the fast response vehicles there. The paramedics were amazing with him. It was just, we were truly, as a family, extremely grateful. They were phenomenal, but they always have been, you know, they dedicated the staff, these paramedics and the radiation department and the chemo centers and all of that, dealing with the people that they deal with and what they go through. You can't believe how dedicated they are. And it's just unbelievable.
So much kindness, and they do it with so much heart, so much caring. Incredible. Do you think Anthea Kyle would want to say one or two words to us?
I'm not too sure.
No, then that's fine. Okay. We just thought maybe a quick hello, but we absolutely don't have to. We don't have to, Anthea.
Kyle, do you want to say hello quickly on the radio? Hello, everybody.
Hello,
hi, Kyle. Hello, hello. We've just been hearing about your experience at the different hospitals and from your mom, and we just want to wish you very, very good health. We hope that you're well.
Thank you. They're talking about your paramedic suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that.
Oh, thank you, Kyle, and all the best, hey, with your health going forward for you and for your mom. And Thea, thank you for joining us. It's really been lovely chatting. I think that you are amazing. And you certainly have a lot on your plate. And as you say, you just keep moving, just keep going. And
keep smiling.
Keep smiling. I think that's so important, because as you've said, you've got to see that there's so many smiling, caring, amazing people around you. And that makes all the difference. Oh, Anthea, thank you. All the best to you, to Kyle, your health. And yeah, we just wish good health for all of you. God bless, and thank you, and take care.
Thank you, and to you too. Thanks so much for everything.
Thank you, Anthea. Go well. Bye-bye. Wow. And that was Anthea Wright, mother of 33-year-old Kyle. And what a journey, and what a story, and what an amazing outlook. So we have survivors, we have volunteers, the warriors who interact with the DL Link on a daily basis, and we like to record voice clips so you get to hear firsthand what their experience is like. And here are a couple for you.
Hello, dear DL Link. Sheila here. You have been so caring, interested, and helpful to me. You have supported me through cancer treatment and beyond. Thank you so very, very much.
I can't begin to thank DL Link enough for the support they have given me during my bout with cancer. How wonderful to be able to reach out in one's darkest moments and have someone there to comfort and care about you. DL Link is doing an amazing job. Thank you with all my heart and soul to have brought light and love to me during this dark time. I thank you so much.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Yep, this is the DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Starting off with our first guest, Dr. Kalinda Linda, clinical psychologist and chairperson of the SADAG board, and talking about her co-creation of the thoughtsfirst.com website, CBT, Cognitive Behavior Therapy, and sounds so empowering and so amazing. So if you just want that website address again, thoughts, and that's plural, thoughtsfirst.com, lots of little videos, or you can follow her on YouTube or social media, Dr. Kalinda Linda, and watch those videos. Very helpful to help you through those times that are really tough. And I like it, because you take action and you're a part of that healing, that journey that you are on. And then, of course, Anthea Wright, Kyle's mom, just sharing that story. If there were parts of the show that you want to listen to, if you've missed, just a reminder that you can catch that podcast on the Chai FM website. And also a reminder to you that if you would like to volunteer, if you would like to make donations to the DL Link, because they really do rely entirely on your generosity in order to be of service to so many people within the community, you can either contact them directly on 011-485-3269, or you can visit their website, www.dllink.co.za. I do hope that you've enjoyed the show. I have certainly enjoyed being in your company. From me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, take care and goodbye.